The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus put another parable before the crowd, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?' And he answered, 'An enemy has done this.' The slaves said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them up?' And he replied, 'No. For in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' And Jesus answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, the field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears hear." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. A little, very little Bible lesson for this morning. In the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the writing of Moses takes us from the time of the creation through to the time when we start getting ready for the new kings. It's an amazing time, and of course, nobody who wrote it was alive at the time when most of it took place. Nor was the capability there of writing things down. So the stories were told. And the stories were told by different folk. And when they eventually got written down, they were written down by different people who had different ideas and different concerns. In the Old Testament, in this period of the Torah, we find multiple writers. Some of them were concerned with priestly sorts of things. Some of them were concerned with making sure that the Old Testament patriarchs were heroes and never did anything wrong. Some of them were concerned that, these were just folk like us. Jacob is a part of that process. You remember last Sunday, Jacob stole his brother's birthright. And then there's a piece of the story that we don't get in the lessons. And that piece is, we know that Isaac loved Esau and Rebekah loved Jacob. But when Jacob stole his brother's birthright, Isaac was really upset. And so, mom, Rebekah, decides it's better to get Jacob out of the way for a while until this all blows over. And so she says to Isaac, I don't want my son to be marrying one of these local girls. So I want to send him up to Haran to my father's house, and there he can find a bride. One of my brother's daughters, perhaps. And so she gets him out of town. Now, as he's going out of town, he takes a little bit of break. He finds a clearing and he decides it's time for a nap, time to go to sleep. And so he goes to sleep and he has this dream that this is the stairway to heaven. This is where God and his holy angels make the transition from the physical world into the land of spiritual reality. And when he wakes up, he's afraid. Well, I'd be afraid. After what I just did to my older brother, after running away to get out of town so that I don't receive punishment for that. And here I am in the house of God, Bethel, house God. Bethel becomes one of the locations for sacrificial worship in the kingdom. Between the time when they cross the Jordan River and the time when Jerusalem is proclaimed the only temple in the kingdom. It's in that place that Jacob begins to realize what's going on. And God says, don't worry. I'm going to give to you the same promise that I gave to your dad and to his father. And that promise will be fulfilled in this area. So until you come back here, and until you see that promise fulfilled, I'm going to be with you, and you're going to be fine. Good idea. The gospel for today gives us another parable and another allegorical meaning. They fit a little better than the last week's parable and allegory, but they're still a parable, a simple story with a simple understanding, and an allegory that makes it very complicated. What Jesus is trying to do with the parable is to say, this kingdom, this world, is not going to be perfect. And it's not up to us to decide who belongs and who doesn't belong. We just leave it to God at the end of time. And God will deal with all of that. That's the parable. It's very simple. And yet, you know, the church, in less than 25 years, had turned their backs on that parable and started trying to exclude people who were different from them. The Jewish Christians believed that they were the only real Christians, and the Gentiles were not. You had to be Jewish before you could be Christian. And so they wanted to exclude all of those heathen Christians out there who didn't follow the laws of Moses. Well, that was a big bust up in the church. And they finally settled it, saying, no, we can all be Christians. And no sooner did they settle it to see that we could all be Christians, then they decided that if you didn't believe a certain thing about Jesus, you were not a real Christian. And so the heresies developed. And those who were in power thrust out those who were not in power, excluded them from the life of the church. So it was at the time of the Reformation. If you were Roman Catholic, you excluded all of those Protestant heretics. And if you were a Protestant, you excluded all of those Roman Catholic heretics. It was a conflict to see who would be excluded the most. And we kept that right up, excluding people who we didn't count to be as human as we are. Perhaps because they came from a different place, because they looked different, because they acted differently. And the church continued to make those exclusions a reality in the life of the church, going fully against everything that Christ had told them about inclusion. And so Christians of different sorts today even try to do the same thing and exclude people who have different ideas. But the gospel for today, that simple parable, still holds true. We are not the ones to judge. We are the ones to welcome and be open to people who come. That's a hard thing to do. And I think the church realizes that at times. I think Paul sort of realized that, in that he talks about the life in the spirit and the life in the flesh. The life of the spirit, everyone calls God Abba, Father. Abba in the Aramaic and Father in the Greek. They mean the same thing. We all call God Dad or Mom or whatever. God is parent material, good parent material. But how is it that we can begin to let those exclusionary things kind of slide away? The psalmist has the answer. Look deep into me, O Lord. Look at my heart. Look at my thoughts. What do you see there? What we need to do is concentrate on what we are doing. What we are thinking. How our heart determines things. We have to look inside, not outside. We have to look at who and what we are and how we proclaim the kingdom of God. When we concentrate on making ourselves better, we don't have much time to concentrate on who does what and who belongs and who doesn't. I need to spend time looking at the heart, at my heart, and so do we all. In that way, the church becomes the real church. Amen.